Well, good morning
once again to all. We are continuing a series and it's going to be on for quite a while. We're going to, Lord willing, step through the book of Ephesians all the way to chapter 6. And this particular series that we've had is called The Identity of the Church. And remember that we taught the identity of church does not mean this building. It's our identity, who we are in Christ Jesus. We want to remember how many times Paul wrote the words in Christ, how many times he wrote the words in him in this book of Ephesians, 12 times actually. And if you look at the words throughout from this book all the way through the end, this 47 times we read about being in Christ or in him. And so it's important that we understand we are the ones that are in Christ, the ones who have obeyed the gospel of Christ. And so we are also the ones who are called the saints, not because of something that we did, but because we are in Christ. All who are in Christ are saints according to God's own will. And we also realize that we are blessed and chosen. We realize that God has given us so many blessings that we will be studying here that just boggles the mind what God blesses us with. All the spiritual blessings that are in Christ that we've been studying now and all the physical blessings that we've had from God. The fact that we have this amazing building to worship in, that we have homes to live in and cars and the things that we enjoy in this life because of God's blessings. And we realize also that we are the chosen of God. And as we get into the idea of chosen, we're chosen because of our choice. We've decided to be members of the body of Christ. It wasn't something that God said, you know, before David's born, he's going to be a Christian. It's our choice to become one of the chosen, which also has to do with predestination. When we think about that, predestination to adoption, that is something that we have received as a great blessing from God. God didn't pick certain individuals from the beginning of the world till now that would be Christians and some individuals that would spend heaven, eternity in heaven and some that would spend eternity in hell. He's not a respecter of person. And we studied that. We're saints individually because of our faith, because we are the whosoevers of John 3:16. And so we make the decision to become part of the predestined church. And when we think of the predestination of the church, it isn't predestined individuals. It's the idea that it's kind of like the man who is known as William Isley's, who in his mind he predetermined, which is what predestined means. He decided ahead of time, he predetermined that he was going to build a building. And in that building, he was going to set up shop. And that shop would have people in the building. He didn't know who the people were. He didn't know the names of the eventual workers. But he knew he was going to have a building with something inside. That thing inside evolved eventually into what was called Isley's Ice Cream. But the building is, it means nothing. It was Isley's Ice Cream because of who was in the building, what was in the building. The same thing's true about the church. God predetermined that he was going to have a church, not a building, but a people for himself, his own special people. And they are the people that eventually fill the building and they become people of faith through obedience in Christ Jesus. They're baptized into the body of Christ, which is the church, that spiritual building. And so we need to understand how important that is, that we're predestined to adoption. And so our identity is in Christ. Our identity is in Christ Jesus alone, no other. And so we need to understand how important that is. We are the called to be a part of the church that Jesus built, Matthew 16:16. And he called that church is his body, Colossians 1:18. And it would be called the kingdom, Colossians 1:13. It would be called his the body of Christ And so we need to understand how important it is. We're translated into the kingdom of God's, the Son of God's love. That's Colossians 1 and 13. And so that's what it means to be predestined. So in our lesson today, we realize that we're also the redeemed. And we're going to talk about that. What does that mean to be redeemed? Right? So in verse 7 of chapter 1, we read those words, in Him we have redemption through the blood of and the forgiveness, through His blood and the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. So our redemption was made possible only because of God's great love for us. When we define redemption, that Greek word means signifying to redeem one by paying the price. We redeem one by paying the price. That's what Jesus did. And that's how we are redeemed. In Revelation, we read these words about Jesus. He said, you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. When we read that, in simple, Jesus died for us, shed his blood, and he did it for all. No selection of any particular group. If you believe and obey the gospel, you are going to be redeemed by the blood of Christ. Now, think about this. Only through Christ can we have redemption. Right? Remember what Paul said there, through his blood. John wrote those words for us so that we would understand. It's only through Christ Jesus. We've been made free. In fact, our debt has been paid. And it was paid, what was paid is something we never ourselves could ever possibly pay. It was paid by the blood of Christ. We read in the book of Romans, let's read Romans chapter 3 for a moment. Romans chapter 3. So we want to look at verses 21 through 25. Paul writes, but now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Christ Jesus to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, being freely justified or being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood, through faith, to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. And I'll read verse 26, to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of one who has faith in Jesus. See, we've been monstrously filled with debt. Every sin that we've committed in our life, up to the point in which we obeyed Christ, and it's just monstrous to imagine that. Numerous sins. And we also want to understand that when we read about Genesis in chapter 3, we don't read about Jesus. We read about the beginning of God's infinite wisdom, that He would spend years, even thousands of years, teaching man the very critical truth that sin requires physical and spiritual death. You think about what that means. In Genesis 2 and 17, scripture that we should be familiar with, where God says, in that day, the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. He's talking about the tree, the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which Eve did eat of and Adam did eat of it. And as a result, their bodies began to die. The original text there literally says, dying you shall die. And so that wasn't the spiritual death, that was the physical death. Then in Revelation chapter 20, we read John writing, then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Our sin, not Adam's sin, has condemned us. James says that every man, when he is tempted, he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And then he says, then when lust or desire has conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. That's James chapter 1 and at verse 25. So we sin because of our desire, because of the lust. And it wasn't Adam that brings us to that second death, that spiritual death. It's our own sin. We need to understand that. And all of that can be wiped out by the blood of Christ if we obey His gospel. Most of us have heard that phrase, I have good news and I have bad news. You know, which one do you want to hear first? Most people say, I want to hear the bad news first. Leave me with some good news. Well, you know, you look at Romans 6 and 23, and the Apostle Paul, he says that, as in Adam, all die. We read that. As in Adam, all die. And that's Paul's writing to the Corinthians. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in Adam, all die. He's the one that brought death. And then he says, but the good news is even so in Christ, all shall be made alive. So we have bad news and good news. Paul in Romans 6 and 23 made that a little bit more clear. He says, I have bad news. The wages of sin is death. He says, but I have good news. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the redemption. The good news is that we can be redeemed of our sins no matter how great our sins are. And when we think about our sins deserve physical death. God gave warning all throughout the Old Testament, even in the early ages of the church, that sin brings death. In Leviticus chapter 10, Nadab and Abihu died because they offered unauthorized or profane fire to God. In 2 Samuel chapter 6, we read of Uzzah who disobeyed God, touching the ark, and died on the spot. In Numbers chapter 16, you read about Korah and all those who were with him were swallowed up by the earth because of their disobedience. And we don't want to disregard the 250 who were consumed by fire when they were offering incense. In Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira, they died on the spot because they lied to the Holy Spirit. They lied to man. And so death is something that comes upon man because of sin. And the spiritual death, because we refuse to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. All because of disobedience. All because of rebellion against God. In Hebrews chapter 9 and at verse 22, the Hebrew writer, he tells us very clearly, according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Jesus Christ, His blood was shed. The great blessing upon us is that we are the redeemed. We're redeemed because of the shedding of blood. And so the law was put in place by God so that to show us that all sin is unrighteousness and all sin had to be treated with the shedding of blood. The animals in the Old Testament were constantly being slaughtered. The blood was being shed. Because of the sins of man. And we realize that with God, all sins, the wage of sin is death. But that's not really the weight of redemption. when we really think about the weight of redemption, what's behind the redemption, and it all comes down to forgiveness. We all know something about bills, right? We think about bills. They can pile up to where it's we feel as though we're covered with bills and we can't pay the bills. We're overwhelmed. And, you know, sometimes someone comes along. Some kind person, some generous person, some person full of grace, and they graciously, they pay all your bills. They literally pull you out from under all those bills. And some of us understand that. Some of us have been in a situation where we're just way over our head. And then somebody helps us. And how awesome is that? The feeling that you have when you realize your bills have been paid and now you can start anew. How awesome is that? The same thing is true about our sins. Sins, you know, some churches today lie to people and tell them you can commit sin, come in some day of the week, talk to a priest, and he'll absolve you of all your sins and you're good to go. And that's not true. Only our high priest Jesus can absolve us of our sins. And so that's an outright lie, and yet people, they let these sins, they think that, well, I did that sin a month ago and I've forgotten it. It's over, you know, whatever. No, your sins accumulate just like those bills. And we get to a point where we need help. And the reason we need help is because we are unable to pay any price for any sin. You can have one sin that makes you a sinner, by the way. And you can't pay that price. You can't absolve yourself of sin in any way, shape, or form. It's just not in us to do that. We need someone who is greater than ourselves that can take away our sins. And so think about this. When you are living in sin, you're denying Christ, and the only one that can help you is Christ. You see, we can't pay our own sin. Only the applied blood of Christ can do that. Jesus can reach down and pull you up out of your sin by washing you with His blood. He does that because you've obeyed His gospel. You have believed that He is the Son of God. You confess His name before men. And you repent of your sin. You realize these are my sins. No matter how many, no matter how great, no matter how small, these are my sins. And I need to change. And then, having done that, you are baptized into Christ, quote, for the remission of sins, Acts 2 and 38. And you're forgiven. Romans 10 and 12, when you call upon the Lord, that means to call, answer His call to you. He will save you. You're buried with Him in baptism. You're raised up out of baptism after having contacted that precious blood to walk in newness of life. He will save you. Your past sins are forgiven. Everything is totally paid in full. That is the only answer to the problem of sin. And so as being redeemed, God's telling us that there's a problem. And here's the answer. You can be forgiven of your sins. And you just think about, you know, how wonderful it was to be, have your bills paid for in a material world. How much more wonderful is it to let go and allow Jesus to pull you up out of your sin and let His blood wash away all of the bills of your sin? And how much more awesome would that be? You just think about that, right? When the man pays your bills, you make a promise to him. He just asks you to do certain things. And then eventually, you know, some people, they just turn their backs on that person. They start to forget that person. They don't answer his calls. They avoid the person. Bills are paid. I don't really need you anymore. Imagine how that makes that man feel. And you consider how much greater the pain is to our Savior, our Lord, our Master, who died on the cross and suffered greatly to have His blood shed so that blood could wash away our sins, and He paid the debt with His blood, and we turn away from Him. How would that make Him feel? We decide that we're not going to keep every commandment. We decide that we're going to maybe change things and do things our own way. Instead of giving up everything for the one who gave up everything, we start hoarding things. In John chapter 1 at verse 17, John wrote these words, "If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us of all our sin." If we walk in the light, that means if we walk in Christ, if we obey Christ, if we continue to honor him with everything that we possess, with all of our heart, mind, body, strength, we love God. And if we don't walk in the light, it means we don't love God with all our heart, mind, and strength. It means that we're putting Jesus on a different road that we are on, and we're turning our back. And listen, God is not mocked. Hebrews chapter 10 and 29 says, that if we insult the Spirit of grace, we need to remember it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, verse 31. So we have this debt that was paid. We have forgiveness. That's what redemption really is all about. So I want to just wrap up with three simple thoughts, and the lesson will be yours. Number one, as we read the wealth of his grace in Romans 5:20, I put it up here so that you can read it. It said, "Moreover, the law entered that the offerings might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." The debt's been paid. The blood of Christ is in accordance with the wealth of his grace. Our sin, I say, it can never exceed the abundance of God's grace. The redemption shows us the goodness of God, how much God loves us. What an amazing thing it is to be the redeemed, to be the ones who have had their sins washed away, to be the ones who have God's grace, God giving us something that we don't deserve. And you notice in verse 8 that he's lavishing us with his grace. His grace is pictured as being in abundance, right? Abundance means that it is greater in number, greater in value. And his abundance is, his abundant grace is being poured out over and above, abounding everything towards us. That grace, fully sufficient for a man's salvation. Listen, our sins are, again, never greater than the power of his ability to give us grace and forgiveness. Paul said those words, "abounded much more, the riches of his grace." Then we go on to this next point, the blessing of wisdom, Ephesians chapter 1 and at verse 9, "having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself." God not only forgives us of our debts, but he purposed to give us the wisdom that we need to understand him. Everything that we need, all that pertains unto life and godliness, God has given us. He gave it to us through this word so that we can continually read this word and understand. We'll study that subject in chapter 3 upcoming, where Paul describes this wisdom and this mystery and how we can understand it. But we're talking about the wisdom of God, not about the wisdom of man. Right? It's the wisdom that comes from above. It's the wisdom which is pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. That's the wisdom from above. It's not the earthly wisdom, sensual wisdom. It's godly wisdom. Wisdom that without God, without His Spirit, without the Word, no man could ever know. And finally, the third point, all things are in Christ. We mentioned that a little bit earlier in the lesson. How many times does Paul, Peter, any of the writers use the words in Christ? It's just amazing. The bottom line is that we're made saints in Christ. All spiritual blessings are in Christ. We're adopted in Christ. And we're predestined and redeemed in Christ. All part of God's glorious plan to save us. And His purpose was to unite us into all things in heaven, things on earth, everything spiritual, to make us one in Christ. God's redeemed people, in order to gather Himself all the things that are precious to Himself. And so, I appreciate your time and attention. If you do have any thoughts or questions on these studies, the previous studies, or the study today, I hope you'll come and ask, because I'd be happy to sit down and discuss this. God made the heavens and the earth. He developed a long-range plan for humanity. Christ Jesus is the focal point of that plan. All things are summed up in Christ. Everything, whether on earth or in heaven, comes together in Christ. Every being in heaven, in Christ. Everything on the earth, in Christ, is set aside to willfully enjoy and submit to Christ. We need to look at ourselves today and ask if we're willfully and joyfully in Christ. Have we submitted to Christ today? Because if we have not, today is the day that we want to receive the blessings. We want to be a saint in Christ. We want to be those who are the called in Christ. We want to be those who are adopted in Christ, predestined to adoption. And we want to be those people who are partakers and redeemers in Christ. And that only happens one way. We understand from the Scriptures that we become in Christ through faith and baptism. In Mark 16:16, Jesus made that very clear when He said, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. And he who does not believe shall be condemned." We also read from the Scriptures that belief and baptism puts us into Christ, into the body of Christ, into the church. Galatians 3:27, as many of us have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. That makes us part of His church, and it makes us saints. And as we put on Christ more and more, we grow in faith and knowledge of our Lord and Savior and our God. Acts 2:38, it clearly says, to answer the question of what must we do, Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sin, to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." That is putting on Christ, being made into Christ, moved out from outside of Christ, outside of the church, outside of the body, to being moved inside spiritually to the body of Christ, where all the blessings are. If you're outside of Christ today, please don't waste any more time, any more life, any more energy denying or pushing back from the call of Christ. But take that time and opportunity today to obey the gospel of Christ. You will never ever regret that choice. You will regret the choice of not obeying. And if you're with us today and you have taken a wrong path, gotten yourself into some manner of sin, no matter what it is, today is the day that you can correct that by repenting, turning away from that sin, and the blood of Christ will wash that away, and you will be once again restored and be the redeemed of God. If you have a need this day, as I said, don't waste any time. Just get up. come forward and obey the gospel as we stand and as we sing.
I have decided.